Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christmas morning reading, a very familiar yet often misunderstood or misinterpreted scripture from John chapter 1. The beauty of John's gospel and his birth story of Jesus. I don't know if you caught it in there, but Luke has Luke chapter 2 and the birth story that we hear on Christmas Eve. Matthew and Mark both have birth stories, although they're sometimes shorter. John's birth story, let's see, where can we find it? Oh, it's down there a little ways. There it is. John 1, 14. This is John's birth story of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thus the birth story of John, of Jesus in John's gospel. A few words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John doesn't spend a lot of time on the details because that's not important to him. What's important to him is that people know, first, that the Word itself, the Word spoken by God in creation, the Word communicated through the prophets, the Word sent down through the centuries of all of the people of Israel, the Word has an identity. The Word isn't just words on a page. It's not just some mystical something out there in the universe. The Word has an identity, and his identity is Jesus. And that Word that was spoken in creation, that created everything, that Word spoken is the same Word that becomes the baby born in Bethlehem. The Word becomes flesh. The Word takes on skin and bones and muscle and veins and a heart and lungs and all of the things that make up a human being. The Word takes those on, becomes one. And he dwells among us. That the Word doesn't just live afar off in some kingdom. That the Word doesn't sit on a throne of gold and red velvet separate from his people. That the Word dwells among the people. This is John's birth story of Jesus. Not the manger, not Bethlehem even, not even Mary and Joseph. You notice their names aren't even mentioned in John's birth story. But there's Jesus. The only name that's mentioned is John. And not John the gospel writer either. The only name mentioned in John's birth story of Jesus is John the Baptist. Kind of unusual. But the Baptist had a particular reason, had a particular existence, had a particular purpose for which he was born, and that was to point the way to Jesus. Now, he didn't do that like the angels. He wasn't there among the heavenly host pointing the shepherds to Jesus. He comes a little bit later to point people to Jesus. The gospel writer John says that he was a witness. He was the one that was to show people where the light was. When I was 16 to for 5 summers after I turned 16, I worked at a summer camp in northern Michigan. And it was a great summer job. The typical camp experience that you think of, canoeing and hiking and all of that stuff. One of the most adventuresome things we used to do would be to take a hike at night with no flashlights. And it was dark. was really dark, that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And so we would walk very carefully in the dark. And if one of us tripped, we all tripped, because we were so close together that we would, you know, fall over one another. And of course, when you're walking and it's dark and you can't see, your ears are like hearing every little thing rustling in the leaves as you're... There's something about being in the dark that just, I don't know, maybe you can feel the anxiety now just talking about being in the dark at night and not being able to see, and you get nervous. And I know that anxiety from walking in the dark. I know some of you don't like to drive at night because it's difficult to see. The dark has this way of kind of closing us in, making us feel tense and anxious. And then when there's light, there's a glimmer of light somewhere. Like when we were hiking and we were coming back from wherever it was we decided to try and get lost, and we would come back, we would see the light on one of the cabins in the camp. And we would, there's the light. It's right up ahead. We still couldn't really see where we were, and we'd trip anyway, but there was the light. We could see it. That little faint glimmer of light guided us back to safety. When I first took the call into the pastoral ministry, we spent 11 years up in Fairbanks, Alaska, where in the wintertime, it's dark. The sun doesn't come up much, and so it's dark most of the time. And there's a different kind of darkness from hiking in the summertime when you're with your friends to a darkness of you wake up and it's dark, you go to work, it's dark, you come out of work, it's dark, you go home, it's dark, that it never is really light. There's a different kind of feeling that sets in. The hiking in the dark makes us anxious. We feel that tenseness. When it's always dark, you start to feel slow, sad. I struggled with seasonal affective depression, and it set in, and it was hard to get up and go to work and do the things that a pastor is called to do when it's dark and everybody around you's struggling with the darkness and you're struggling with the darkness. And even in the season of light at Christmas time, it's still dark because the shortest day of the year is December 21st, and it doesn't really start to get longer for a while after. It's just dark, and it's hard. And I think sometimes with the sin that we struggle with, we can either feel it acutely, like hiking in the dark, where whatever it is that we've either done or said, we realize immediately after that was wrong. Words that came out and you go, ah, I wish I hadn't said that. I'd like to reel those words back in if I could. That's that acute sense of darkness, immediate, right in front of your face. And then there's that sin in our lives that seems to drag, that no matter what we do to try and rid ourselves of it, it's there, persistent, and it hangs on us. And we feel depressed and down. And we're always looking. We're looking for that one light. We're looking for that glimmer of hope, that thing that's going to stick out and say, there's the end of the tunnel. I can get there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John came as a witness to point to the light. And that light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So this whole thing in John chapter 1 is Jesus. Jesus was born in the flesh as one of us, lived among us. John saw he was the light and pointed to Jesus, and then Jesus is the light. That light that shines in the darkness, not necessarily at night, but in the darkness of our hearts, in the darkness of our sin, in the darkness of the world around us. Jesus is that light, that one point of light that we can point to and say, there, that's Jesus. He's the light in the dark. He's that single candle, that one little flashlight, that glimmer on the cabin, that light, that little sunrise and sunset, that little bit of light, that's Jesus. And he still shines. You notice John says the darkness has not overcome it. It's not the darkness didn't overcome it, like past tense. The darkness won't overcome it, like future tense. It's has not, will not, never will the darkness be able to overcome the light of Christ. Never. Never. That light will always shine, no matter how dark it gets. No matter how dark it seems our sin is, no matter how dark it seems the world gets, no matter how dark the future may seem, Jesus' light still shines and will always shine. See, that's the wonderful hope of Christmas, is that, yes, the light came into the world. The baby born in Bethlehem took on flesh and was dwelling among us, but that light that shone back there in the little town of Bethlehem will still shine, will always shine. So when he comes again, that light will still shine and will lead the way. And we'll be able to see, that's the light. That's the way home. That's the glimmer of hope. It's the end of the tunnel. That's Christmas. The light shining in our darkness. The light promising life and deliverance. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not, won't ever overcome it. Amen. And now may that light of life that shines in the darkness enlighten our hearts and minds with his peace and grace. Amen.